Hey there, singers, public speakers, and content creators. My name is Clay Collins, and this is the My Voice Mentor podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a very important subject that a lot of singers, public speakers, content creators, anybody that's using their voice on a regular basis, they worry about this as they get older. One of the things that I hate to hear the most is when singers begin to talk about or mention a notice or a decline in their voice post the age of 40. I was recently listening to a friend of mine basically communicate that they have noticed changes in their voice from what it was able to do in their 20s and 30s. Years ago, I worked with a vocal coach that said the same thing, that once you hit 40, the voice begins to go into decline. And I began to worry about that because none of us are getting any younger. And we think, does my voice have a shelf life? Should I be worrying about these things? And what I'm really here to talk to you about today, I've actually got really good news, because before I probably would have agreed that your voice is going to continue to age. Of course, we've heard tons of voices, whether they're singers or not, as the body gets older and things begin to wear down, the voice begins to age. And so it's a natural fear that we would have. But after what I have discovered and the tools that I have implemented into my own singing, into my own speaking, I can honestly tell you that you can literally turn back the time on your voice, and you actually can overcome any noticeable losses that you've experienced in your voice. And the truth is, if you properly take care of your voice, you absolutely will have it for your entire life. Your voice doesn't have to age as you age. I don't normally like throwing out my age, but for the sake of your benefit, I have passed the 50 mark. I'm going to be 51 this year. And I can honestly tell you that my voice is more youthful and healthy and more versatile today than it's ever been in my whole life. I've got a better singing voice today than I had in my 20s and my 30s and definitely my 40s. I've discovered some techniques and tools that have literally turned back the clock on my voice. And it's not because I'm going easy on my voice. Quite the opposite. I still have just as rigorous a vocal schedule, probably more so, because not only am I singing on a platform and on a stage multiple times during the week, I'm also spending hours and hours teaching the same techniques to my voice students. So by the way, if you're interested in growing and developing your voice, I want to let you know about a vocal bootcamp, a 5-day free vocal bootcamp that I want to extend to you for free. All you've got to do is go to myvoicementor.com/bootcamp. And while you're doing that, if you're listening to this on any streaming platform, go ahead and like and review. And if you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button and the bell notification so that you'll be aware of new episodes as they come out. So let's move on. Probably around 10 years ago, I began noticing a drop in my vocal performance. At that time, I was singing quite a lot. So part of that was just me using the voice and it getting tired. But I began to notice something that felt like, well, I'm getting older, so I need to be prepared for the fact that my voice is going to change over time. And I remember having a conversation with a colleague at the church I was attending at the time. And I remember saying, I'm learning how to accept this new voice because it's not what I had, but I'm trying to work with it. And at that time, I actually felt like because of all the live singing I've done, all of the louder singing, the more performance-oriented singing, that I couldn't do the more subtle things that I would do in the studio and recording and the more nuanced type of singing that I would do in the studio. And I really was worried about it. And what I've come to learn and what I want to talk with you today about is that it is possible for the voice to decline as you get older. But just because it's possible and just because it happens to so many people, that doesn't have to be your sentence. That doesn't have to be your future. And so I want to talk about the different ways that we use the voice and ways that we can use our voice differently to have a voice that's going to last our entire life. A lot of times when I'm talking with students, I compare the voice to a car. Now, I'm not a car guy, so I don't necessarily speak with a lot of authority here, but I've noticed as I've talked about the voice, the parallels between a voice and a car actually somehow work out more often than not. And I'm able to paint a picture because a lot of people like cars. But When it comes to the voice, I want you to think about it within the context of two types of cars. You have two different type of car people. Everybody that is trying to get from here to there, most people own a car. I'd say probably throughout the world, at least higher than 80%, probably higher than 90% people worldwide have a car. And it's because it's become a necessity. But then there are the people that have specific types of cars. We call those performance cars. And they go very fast. They have very powerful engines. They usually cost a lot of money. And you'd think, because you've spent all this money for it, you've got this vehicle that's going to last and last. Actually, the truth is that cheap economy car, in many cases, far outlives that performance car, even though it's multiple times the price. And the reason why people pay all that money for a performance vehicle is because they want performance over longevity. They actually want the car that's going to go from 0 to 60 in less than 7 seconds or 3 seconds or whatever the case may be. They want to be able to gun that gas and just shoot it off to 60. Now me, I mean, not my thing, but hey, who am I to judge? People just like that. People like performance vehicles. But the cost that you have with a performance vehicle is you're going to spend a lot of money to get a car that's probably not going to give you the same lifespan of your average, typical, more economically priced vehicle. Those are built for endurance. They're built, for the most part, to function, to serve their purpose, and to last. And people treat them well, you give it regular maintenance, and you can usually get a lot of life out of your typical, everyday, average-priced economy car. And you think, well, why is this the case? Well, it actually makes a lot of sense. With a performance vehicle, you're continually pushing it to its limits. And that's why you buy it. You buy it because you want to take it to the extent of its abilities. You're constantly pushing the envelope with it. You're constantly running it, overrunning it, seeing if you can get a few more miles of speed out of it. And that's the appeal. And people that have that kind of excess money, that's great. Well, this is also true when it comes to the physical body. You've got two different types of athletes, probably more, but for the sake of this conversation, we'll just look at it as two types of athletes. You've got your performance athletes. This would include probably most of sports. I'd say football, to some degree, soccer, hockey for sure. Then you've got high performance sports like boxing, wrestling, and those I'd say are even more intense. Boxing especially. I mean, you're literally taking multiple hits to the head throughout the course of your career. Also in this category would be things like acrobatics or dance. Dance is very demanding on the body. And those who join the circus and trapeze artists, these are people that are pushing the body and muscles to their limits. And so you can imagine with this type of use of the body, you're not going to be able to do that for an extended amount of time. And people that choose those type of professions, they understand. If you get into dance, you get into football, you get into hockey, there is a shelf life on that because of the extent that you're pushing your body. And usually the average rundown time of your typical performance athlete is going to be 35, 36, 37. But then you have sports like golf, which is a sport. It's physically demanding, but it's much more gentle on the body. So therefore, golfers can golf 40s, 50s, some effectively golf in their 60s. And on a casual level, people golf in their 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s if they live that long. So why is it that people can play golf, but they can't play football? Well, it's because golf is not as demanding physically. It's more of an exercise of the mind. Well, how does this relate to singing? Because oddly enough, with singing, you can go either route. You can choose a performance route with your voice, and that would include, to some degree, opera singers. That is a performance-oriented vocal skill. I've often heard it referred to as vocal weightlifting. I once knew an opera singer who broke a rib because of the amount of pressure he was pressing on his abdomen and on his chest. Literally broke a rib. I didn't even know that was possible, but I'm like, whoa, that is a very physically demanding form of singing. But also, even in the more contemporary styles, there are some pop singers that were very hard on their voices. Singers like Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey was very hard on her voice. Now, it's also hard to distinguish between maybe vocal technique versus other lifestyle choices that probably played a role as well. But regardless of how you look at it, they were hard on their voices. And they experienced extreme decline as they got older. Mariah Carey is nowhere near the singer today that she was when she was young. But if you go back and listen, she was hard on her voice. So what do we need to do as singers in order to have our voice? Does that mean we have to just go easy on our voice and hide behind it a little bit? Well, actually, nothing could be further from the truth. The one person who tried to do that was Michael Jackson. He was always trying to hide behind his voice. It wasn't even that he had a high voice. It's just that he was trying to keep it up here so that he didn't ever hurt his voice. And he was always trying to kid glove his voice. And the truth is, his voice got weaker when he did that. So if the answer isn't being too hard on your voice, and the answer is being too weak on your voice, what is the answer? Well, as it turns out, there's this middle part of your voice that most people don't pay attention to, especially singers. Speakers, to some degree, figure this out because they speak all day long and they have to figure out how to keep a voice because most people talk throughout the day all day long. And you learn a certain level of stamina when you do that. But singers rarely apply the same techniques that people who are public speakers for a living or just talk all day long figure out naturally. But singers typically apply different muscles. So the bottom line is, what does it take? What does it take to achieve a voice that's going to last for a lifetime? The truth is, when you're younger, just like with other areas of health, your body lets you get away with a lot. You can be hard on your voice in your 20s. You can be hard on your body in your 20s. You can have bad vocal technique and your body will, for the most part, let you do it. The body's very resilient. But as you start entering into your 30s and your 40s, the body gets less tolerant of bad technique. And so a lot of the vocalists that I work with have been singing for a long time. Many of them are professional singers doing it professionally, but they start running into problems right at that 40 mark. And so then they come to me and I basically tell them, if you learn some techniques, you will literally begin to turn back the hands of time. One of the hardest things for professional singers is to actually humble themselves and say, hey, you know what? I've got bad vocal technique. We all have the ability, myself included, we develop these vocal habits that are harmful to the voice that we've got to address, identify, and change. I discovered this in my own voice a couple years ago when I really started doing a lot of voiceover work. I began to realize that without noticing it, I was using a different voice. Probably because my voice has gotten very resonant and loud from all the singing, that I had this desire to soften it and do voiceovers more like with this voice because I didn't want it to be too harsh and too abrasive. But what I realized is I was actually causing fatigue in my voice from inserting all of that air. Okay, we have adequately, probably exhaustively explained the problem. So what's the solution? The solution is compression of the voice, higher pitches, and breath support. Those three adjustments of the voice become the normal way you use your voice, and it's what sets your voice up for a lifetime of success. Once you learn those three components, you will never worry about permanently losing your voice again. It will always be there for you time and time again. Like I said, I am entering into my 50s, fully confident that I'm going to have a strong, youthful voice well into my 70s and 80s. I absolutely believe it. And I actually have some examples. I've got some guests coming on the podcast. There are going to be examples of this, people that are in their 80s singing. And if you were listening to them, you couldn't distinguish their voice from someone that's in their 30s. This is a fact. It can be done, and this can be your story too. So the truth is, you can repair vocal damage at any point in your life. The great thing about how resilient the body is with bad technique, the opposite is true with good technique. At any point in your life, this is true for diet, exercise, and the voice, that the moment you start utilizing the proper healthy techniques, your voice will begin reversing to its natural state, and you will gain years back into your voice that you didn't even think were possible. I've seen it happen countless times with the vocalists that I've worked with. So some of you are out there like, that's me. I've experienced some problems. I want to fix them. What do I do? Maybe some of you out there going, well, my voice was fine, but then I got sick. I got COVID and I started losing parts of my voice. How do I get those back? Well, I want to help you with that because I've got a course that specifically deals with exercising the most important muscle of the voice, which is the ligament, the very edge, the thing that is most likely to get damaged. You pay attention to that. I'm not saying it's easier that it gets fixed overnight, but you pay attention to the ligament, you will repair years of damage to the voice and you will get the voice you've always dreamed of. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take me up on that 5-day vocal bootcamp. Now, the bootcamp itself doesn't deal with the more therapeutic aspects, but it's going to be your best first step. It's the best way you can connect with me and get a feel for how I teach. And then from there, I encourage you to maybe take that next step and take my 30-day free trial of My Voice Mentor vocal coaching program. It's probably one of the best deals you could ever do for your voice because it's a fraction of the cost for a private instructor, but you in fact get me 2 times a week directly working with you online with other students, directly working towards transformation in your voice wherever you are. Plus, there's hours of online course content that will get you on a road to vocal success. This applies not only to singers and public speakers, but also online content creators. Maybe some of you out there have your own podcast and you want to make sure that you take care of that instrument. That instrument is valuable and it's worth your investment. So I hope that I've given you some things to think about today. The number one thing that I want you to take away from this conversation is you can repair your voice. Not only you can have the voice of your 20s, you can actually have a better voice than your 20s because a well-exercised, trained voice will last your entire life. Until next time, I really am glad you decided to join me and I wish you all the best in your vocal endeavors and I wish you the best of success.